Good evening and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a pleasure to be gathered here with you and to worship together. I was struck by the devotions this morning and the thoughts that Brother Dale had as he shared about the branches and the vine and being connected to the vine. And there was a verse in there that caught my attention as I was thinking about, as he was talking about love, and that's verse 13. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And Dale mentioned that this was hours away from him being tortured, crucified, brutally beaten, and this is what he said. He said that a man lay down his life. He knew what he was talking about in a very, very real way. He knew what was coming his way. He knew what he would have to bear. And he said, should it not be the same love that we give back to him and the same love that we extend out to our fellow man in our midst? Shouldn't that be the same love that comes out of my life as a Christian, as a child of God, as one who names the name of Christ? It better be, because it is the only love that is going to see me through. It is the only love that is going to help me make it to glory. That is the love. Turn with me for a message to Hebrews chapter 10. Thanks be to God that there is a way that I can be justified, that there is a way that I can be cleared before God. I was also thinking about this morning about the thought of this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. You ever think about what life would be without a memory? You know, the animal kingdom, the creation, just does what it's supposed to do. God created it. But he gives you and I a choice. He gives you and I a memory. I like to think about the cross this morning, the way to the family. That is the title, The Cross, The Way to the Family. There are many people that try to find their way to the family of God, but they refuse to go through the cross. The cross, the way to the family. Thinking about what Jesus has done, what happened on the cross, what took place on the cross, and then what we have through being part of the family of God. It's two parts to the message. I'm going to read the chapter at this time. I know it's 39 verses. I think we can start in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with the sacrifice which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will... Will we by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering ofttimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said there before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. In their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment of fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and who hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst thou became companions of them that were so used. For ye have compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense for reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Thinking about the cross, what happened at the cross, what took place at the cross, the love that flowed through our Master for the souls of men and women, that we can have a family, that we can be joined together with Christ in his kingdom. Was the cross necessary? Most definitely it was necessary. The old sacrificial system was not good enough. It did not. It simply just covered it up. It did not remove. While it bought a measure of rest, there was no way to just simply take the sin away. It was the blood of an imperfect animal that was used. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died because he loved me. He loved me so much. He wanted that relationship back Turn with me, keep your finger in there, turn with me back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. We have here in the first number of verses, God creating man in his image and breathing into him the breath of life. This was perfection in its fullest form. This was beauty. He created a world of perfection. There was nothing wrong. It was perfect. And he created man. He made a garden. We have in verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. He put the man in his perfect garden, and he told him that you can eat of the trees of this garden, but there's one tree you need to leave alone. You leave this tree alone. You don't eat the fruit of it. You stay away from it. Well, we know the story. While there was a relationship, there was a strong relationship, but sin entered the picture. Satan entered the picture, and he came in, and he tempted Eve into falling into sin of Adam and Eve. And from then forth, they were driven out. It says in chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it says they hid themselves. You know, sin brings such shame. Sin brings a hiding from God, because sin cannot be in the presence of God. Satan was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like the Most High. And he says in the end of verse in chapter 3, it says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. They were cast out from the presence, from the very presence of God, and sin marred the picture. But you know, this morning, today, we have a perfect high priest, someone who is interceding. There is a way that we can have our sins removed and that we can have freedom through the cross. What does the cross do? What happened at the cross? Number one, the ransom for sin has been paid, and the debt that I owed was removed. The ransom. The wages of sin is death. It is death, okay? Sin brings death. Something dies. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift. It is a gift. It is something. It is a gift that God has. The price, the debt that I owed, it's gone. If I accept the blood that was shed. Jesus shed the blood, but I need to accept it in obedience to his life. It has to be followed by obedience. I have boldness through his blood. Number two is the wall or the partition of sin is removed. Sin creates a wall between me and God. It separates me. In the Garden of Eden that day, sin separated Adam and Eve from God. They were removed from that garden and that relationship, that intimate relationship they had with God. It was done because of sin. And that's what sin does. It separates us. It builds a wall. the definition of partition is a separation of two things, or two or more things. To divide into parts. But that is the partition. That wall was a dividing line because of my sin. Verse 14 of our text says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." His offering by his own blood has made it possible that I could tear down that wall and I can now have a relationship with God. Through the cross, through the blood that ran down out of Jesus' side, down the cross, onto the ground, was the blood that tore down that wall between me and God. Between me and a holy God. God cannot look upon sin. And because of that perfect blood, I can now come to God. That wall is removed. What a blessing. What a blessing. Not only is that wall removed, but also the power of sin is removed. You know, sin in itself has such an icy grip. It grips a hold of a person and it hangs onto them with all of its worth. It wants to keep you. In the Garden of Eden that day, as the tempter came to Eve and tempted her, just reached out its icy fingers and grabbed a hold. But the power of sin is removed by the blood of Jesus. We do not need to live under the power of sin. You do not need to live under its grip. We can live above it. James tells us, flee from the... I can't bring it to mind, but... But reject the devil. Turn away from him. Get away from him. Turn to God and his blood. And the power that Jesus offers is far greater than the power of sin. Sin does not need to overpower us. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. We could read more verses here, but we'll just stick to verse 11. "Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Yield yourselves unto Christ. Righteousness means right living. Yield yourselves unto God, not unto the fleshly works and desires of the flesh, but rather unto God. We have a choice in this. You know, I can make decisions in my life that will allow sin to get close and will allow sin to kind of get a hold of areas of my life. Or I can choose to live far away from the icy grip of sin. It's just our choice. Sin is powerful, and we dare not, should not underestimate its grip in a person's life. Don't ever think that I am strong enough to overpower sin, or that I somehow can get around it, or that I'm different than someone else. Don't ever get yourself into the trap of thinking that, because it is not true. I choose what I'm going to do with my life. Well, back to our text. That is what the cross did for me. That is what the cross does for you. What do I have as part of the family? And we see that in the latter part of this chapter, verses 19 on, especially 19 to 25. As being part of the family, what do I have? In verse 19 and 20, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say, his flesh." We have boldness this morning. You have the power to live above sin. You have boldness to come into the very presence of God and to call upon his name. You do not need to be afraid to talk about God, to share. We have boldness. We do not need to be scared to talk to God. There is no need. In the Old Testament, they had to go through the priests. There was a special avenue. You and I can come boldly before the throne in prayer, and we can pour out our hearts before God, and he hears us. We don't have to go through a priest to get to God, but rather through the blood of the cross. Number two, we have an high priest, and we find that in verse 21. Not only just an high priest, but a perfect high priest. Perfection to its fullest. Perfection beyond my human comprehension. I cannot fathom the perfection of the high priest that we have. We in our human minds cannot fathom life without sin stain. But we can be free this morning. We have an high priest. We have an advocate that is sitting at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for me. And there's a promise that if I fall on my knees before God and I confess my sins and I repent of my past, that there's a way to the kingdom of heaven. So what should that do to me in thinking about that I have a high priest and that there is boldness? Verse 22 says this. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." There's a couple things here. It says, "Let us draw near." How? It says, with a true heart. If I am going to draw near to God, I need to have a pure heart myself, personally. Also, we have another thought there, and it's full assurance. We don't have to come, "Oh, God, accept me. It's going to be okay." He says, if you come in confession and repentance, the assurance is yours. And we need to have our hearts sprinkled. We need to have sprinkled hearts and washed bodies. That's how you draw near to God. You think about those things. True heart, full assurance, sprinkled heart, and washed bodies. That's purity in its purest form. Verse 23 talks about holding fast. Let us hold fast our the profession of our faith. Many times in life wants to tell us otherwise. We want to give in because of maybe circumstances or things that are happening, or maybe it's failure. Or we live in a sin-cursed world, but we need to hold fast. We need to hang on. Hanging on when life seems unfair and inconsiderate. Verse 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This is a practice in the family of God, provoking unto love and good works. And you think about this. Provoking unto love and good works. That is the things that I do in life. Is that what it's doing to other people? Is my life provoking unto love and good works? Sometimes we get that turned around. And it's provoking unto unlove, unto not good works. But it's a challenge, because it's part of the family of God. It's what my life needs to do to my brothers and sisters. It's provoking unto love and good works. Verses 35 and 36. We'll read in closing. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense for of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. This morning, I need patience to wait on God. Patience to endure life, to live life, and to be part of the family of God, that in the end that I can receive the promise. You know, this morning, as we take communion together,